Morning, I'm Greg Kokel, and I'm wearing blue jeans today because, because I forgot my nice trousers back in the States and didn't bring them. But it's appropriate that I'm wearing blue jeans now because this is like a working class apologetics talk. In fact, you know, I got my sleeves rolled up and ready to go because I don't even like to call it apologetics. I didn't even call it evangelism. I'm going to use a different word to describe it. And the reason I do that is because I think that there's a difficulty or a problem in translating the information like you get at a conference like this into standard conversations with other people. I've been in dozens and dozens of conferences like this where they've got all the smart guys that come and give you really, really valuable information, and the Oz Giddises and the William Lane Craigs and the John Lennoxes, and they're all here and they're all got the stuff that really is great. But the problem is building a bridge from the content to the conversation, from the scholarship to the relationship. How do you get all of this good stuff into play? And a lot of times I'm asked to come to conferences like this to give that bridge, and that's what I'd like to do in a very, very short time this morning. I'm going to give you an abbreviated form of what is developed very thoroughly in a book called Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Religious Convictions. It's published by Zondervan. But I want to give you just a little taste of what that game plan looks like. But before I get started, I want to say something that some people find very surprising, even controversial. And I've been dressed down by some really important people for saying this, but I'm going to stand behind it anyway. And here's that thing. I never have it as a goal. Whenever I enter into a conversation that I hope will turn into a spiritual conversation of some sort, whether it's in a social environment or on an airplane or wherever it happens to be, I never have it as a goal to lead that person to Christ. I actually don't even have it as a goal to get to the foot of the cross in that conversation. Now, I'll tell you why that's surprising to some people, because you can take an evangelism class where you get a lot of good things about evangelism, but the people will tell you, you know, if you only have 5 minutes, just go right to the foot of the cross. Get the simple gospel out, because that's the most important thing. And it is the most important thing. But it presumes anymore that the simple gospel is simple, that you can just state with clarity even what the gospel entails, and people are going to understand it. Not only that, as many of you know, there are books like crazy on the bestseller list now, written by all kinds of smart people, against Christianity, from the Christopher Hitchens down to the Bart Ehrmans. Every area of our Christian worldview is under attack. And people have seen those books. They maybe haven't read them, they probably haven't, but they know they're written by smart guys and they're in the bestseller list, and so they think they've got something to say, and they think that we've been defeated. And so there are barriers now to even giving our point of view a consideration. And a third reason why I don't go right to the gospel, and I don't encourage people to do that as a goal, is because if I told that to you, if I said, I'm going to give you some things that will help you in conversation, but get right to the gospel if you only got 5 minutes, you would smile and you would nod and you would take notes dutifully, and then you wouldn't do it. Because for most people, this is too frightening. And I'm sympathetic to that. I understand that. It's just too big of a gulf to breach, especially if you don't feel you have the tools. And so I have set myself a different goal, which is foundational to my own game plan. And I state this goal whenever I speak in a secular environment. I've spoken on more than 60 college, university campuses, mostly in the States, some in Europe. But I always tell them what I'm about when I start out, regardless of what it is I'm lecturing on. I start out by telling them that my life has been deeply changed by an ancient teacher named Jesus of Nazareth. And about nearly 40 years ago now, when I was a student at university in UCLA, I considered the claims of Christ, his view of reality, and I realized that he got it right. I came to the conclusion that he saw the world the way it really was, and so I decided to follow him and help others to follow him as well since then. But I'm not here tonight, this morning, whenever the presentation is, I tell the class or the audience, I'm not here to convert you. I want to do something more modest. I just want to put a stone in your shoe. That is, I just want to annoy you in a good way. I'm hoping that when you walk out of here, you're scratching your head, mumbling to yourself, thinking about something that I've said that bothers you and gets you thinking, because I am convinced that Christianity is worth thinking about, and that's all I want from you. And then off I go with my lecture. Now, this is my approach. I do not consider myself, in these circumstances, I don't think of myself as an apologist, a defender of the faith. I don't think of myself as an evangelist, going for the harvest, trying to close the deal. Instead, I think of myself as an ambassador for Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were speaking through us, we beg of you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Paul saw himself and other followers of Christ as a go-between, between the sovereign and the people that the sovereign was trying to reach. I consider myself that go-between. I don't know how far I'm going to be able to get in any conversation. I don't know what impact I'm going to be able to make in that situation. God knows that, I don't. I don't know anything about that person who's sitting next to me on the airplane. I don't know what their needs are, at least not initially. So what I am going to do is not try to harvest that soul. That's not my first goal. I'm going to try to make some kind of difference in the life of that person. I'm going to try to put a stone in their shoe. I'm going to try to say something that gets them thinking. And if I can do that, then I'm satisfied. Then that person can go on, and then in the sovereignty of God, some other ambassador that the Lord brings into his life can take that person the next step, because it's God's responsibility, not mine. And I'll tell you, this takes a tremendous amount of pressure off of me. I can go into a situation, I can just see what's available. Sometimes I employ my plan and nothing happens. All right. It's not my problem. It's my task as far as it goes, but it's God's problem. And I can move on. If I get a chance to put a stone in someone's shoe, or some people might prefer the plant a seed metaphor, that's fine too, then all the better. If I can go further with that person and get the gospel out, okay, fine, if that's the way it goes, but I'm not under any pressure to do that. Now, in order to do that though, to move forward, I have a game plan. I have a game plan that allows me to make a connection between the content and the conversation, between the scholarship and the relationship. When I listen to people like they're at this conference or I do my own studies, I'm packing away the information, but I have a plan for getting that information into play. And that's the plan that I want to share with you. It's really a three-step plan, and all three steps are covered in the book on tactics in detail, but I'm only going to give you two steps today, because two steps is all you need to get rolling, and it's all I have time to do in this short presentation. At Stand to Reason, the organization I represent, we take the tactical approach. That is, we are trying to adopt a way of dealing with people that is consistent with Paul's exhortation in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 through 5, or somewhere in there. Paul says, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity, seasoning your words with salt, as it were, so that you know how to respond to each person. And to me, this is a good description of what the tactical approach is. How do you get in the driver's seat of conversations so you can direct the conversations however you want to direct the conversation? You can be in control of the conversation even though you may not know a lot, even though you don't know anything about this other person, even though they're a lot more educated, even though they're a lot more articulate. That's what this game plan will do. In fact, this game plan will allow you, and this is my promise to you, to converse with confidence with anyone. No matter how little you think you know, and maybe that's precious little, or how much the other guy knows, or how aggressive or intelligent it happens to be. This is the tactical approach. Now, it's Standard Reason, we have lots of different tactics with names like suicide and taking the roof off and just the facts, ma'am, and road scholar, and these are all maneuvers and conversations. But they are all built around a main tactic which represents the game plan. And that tactic has a name, and the name of the tactic is Columbo. Now, at this point, I usually grab my trench coat, which I don't have a trench coat. All I have is this, so you're going to have to use your imagination. Columbo is an American TV icon from 30 years ago, but lots of people still remember Columbo, who's a detective who shows up on the crime scene wearing this rumpled old trench coat, looks like he slept in it. Just imagine a brown trench coat going down here, right? And now, he's a cigar smoker, so he's got a cigar. He's got a pad of paper, but he can't write on it. Anybody know why he can't write on his pad of paper? Because he doesn't have a pen or pencil. He forgot it. You know, he's got to bum a pencil off of somebody else. And here Columbo shows up in the crime scene, and he's walking around, and he's scratching his head, and he's mumbling and muttering to himself, and this guy doesn't look like he can think his way out of a wet paper bag. He's stupid, but he's stupid like a fox because he has a plan. And at some point, he'll pause and put his hand on his hip and the other one on his head as if he's deep in painful thought and say something like this. I don't know. There's something about this thing that bothers me. Do you mind if I ask you a question? Then he asks the question, right? And then he gets the answer. And he, well, you're very intelligent. One more thing. And then he one more tings him to death, right? With question after question after question. And pretty soon people get upset. And he said, I'm sorry. It's because I'm asking all these questions. But I can't help it. It's a habit. And this is a habit that you ought to get into. The key to the Columbo tactic is that the Christian goes on the offensive in an inoffensive way with carefully selected questions to carefully advance the conversation. Let me say that again. The key to the tactic here and the key to the game plan is that the Christian goes on the offensive in an inoffensive way with carefully selected questions that advance the conversation. Now, let me tell you some reasons that questions are really valuable. When you are asking questions, you are drawing the other person out. You are showing an interest in that other person. That is flattering to them. Not only that, they're doing most of the talking if you're doing the asking. I'm a talk show host, so I know how this works. And in a certain sense, they're doing the heavy lifting because the focus is not on you. If you feel you don't know much about how to defend the faith or evangelize or any of that stuff, if you're asking questions, you don't have to answer things. You're letting them talk as you do it. And so there's a certain kind of politeness about it. There's a certain, there's an ability to gather information. You know, I was sitting next to a fellow on an airplane about 32 years old, and we got into conversation as I asking questions and getting to know him a little bit. And it turns out he's not a Christian. He used to be a Christian, but he's not. He used to be a preacher's kid, but he's not anymore. Now, how can a person cease to be a preacher's kid? He's still his father's son, right? He ceases to be a preacher's kid when his dad ceases to be a, what, preacher. In fact, his dad not only is no longer in ministry, he's not even a Christian. Now, do you think there's some baggage in this guy's life? Of course. Can you imagine if I would have jumped in with the simple gospel? How his response would have been there, done that, and it hurt. Okay, but instead, in the process of asking questions, I'm gaining information from him, and I am getting now in casual, friendly conversation in which there's no pressure, there are no lines drawn in the sand, we're not arguing, we don't have our dukes up, there's nothing at stake except for one person interested in somebody else. What I am getting is a mental picture of this man's spiritual topography. It's appearing before my eyes, and I can see there are minefields out there. And now, because of what I know, I am able to maneuver around those minefields so as to not set them off. It's a tremendous advantage as I gather information. And in fact, this is the first use of Columbo. I'm going to talk about two uses of Columbo here. The first one is to gather information. Just like Columbo shows up at the crime scene, what's the first thing he's got to do? He's got to figure out what's going on. He's got to figure out the details before he can know whether a crime has been committed or who might have committed that crime. He's got to gather information. And the same thing for you. The first step of your game plan, when you encounter somebody, and this is not just if you are just bumping into some stranger and you want to have a conversation. I use this when I lecture at university. I'm doing Q&A sessions. And people are launching challenges at me. I realize that there are lots of challenges that people offer that are wildly ambiguous in the way they're stated. And this person is not exactly consciously depending on the fact that he can make hay with the ambiguity. He can have an advantage over me with the ambiguity. But that's the way it's working out. And so I want to get more clarity. So I am going to ask questions to gather information. Now, there's a key question here for both of the two uses, the first two uses of Columbo. And I'm going to give you the question. So you have your game plan ready to use. The first use of Columbo is to gather information. The first question is, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Or some variation. I tell a story in the longer version of this, which I'll be doing this afternoon, in fact, about a witch that I met in Wisconsin. And I got in a friendly conversation with her because she was wearing a pentagram around her neck, a piece of jewelry. And I simply asked her, does that jewelry have religious significance? She said, yes, I'm a pagan, and off she went. And so we had a friendly conversation because I had asked the simple question, what do you mean by that? Incidentally, I'm avoiding getting in a fight. I hope you see this. I do not want to get in a fight. My rule is, if I get mad in a conversation, I lose. All right? If they get mad, I still lose. In other words, if anybody gets mad, I'm going to lose. So I don't want to get somebody mad. I want to avoid that if possible. Now, sometimes you can't avoid that. Jesus got him, a lot of people mad, got him killed, you know. Sometimes people are mad at the content. But if they're mad at the person and the delivery, that's our problem, okay? So your question can be a simple ability to gather information about that individual. It can start a conversation. It's very friendly. It's personable. It may not be on a spiritual topic at first, but it may lead to something. You're just keeping your eyes open. You're waiting for an opportunity. Sometimes people will make a challenge, and they'll say something like, well, everything's relative was a question I got one, not a challenge that I got. Well, you know, a lot of times the impulse is to dive into some critique of relativism at that point without first asking a question, because that statement, everything's relative, is wildly ambiguous. Now, which of the two words might be ambiguous in that statement? How about both of them? What does it mean to something to be relative? What does he mean that everything's relative? Because if everything is relative, then the statement everything's relative is part of everything, isn't it? Which would make it what? Relative also. Do you see a problem there maybe? Okay, that's a suicide tactic kind of intruding itself into our conversation a little bit here. But I don't want to jump in to deal with that unless I've given them a chance to do more talking. What do you mean by relative? Now, in this particular case, don't be surprised if you get what I call the Simon and Garfunkel response, two American performers from the 60s who wrote a song called The Sounds of Silence. That is, when you say, what do you mean by that? You get nothing, because people haven't thought about what they mean by that, all right? So wait them out. Give them a chance. Now, I have to quickly move to the second question here. First use of Columbo, gather information. First question, what do you mean by that? Many ways to use it. Second use of Columbo is to reverse the burden of proof. That is, instead of us taking the responsibility to do all the arguing or to prove our point, we put the burden of proof on the other person when they make the claim. Notice the statement, everything's relative. This is a statement about the way the world is. It's a claim that's being made. And when people make claims, the one who makes the claim, especially if it's a controversial one, they bear the burden of proof. They bear the responsibility to support their view. They can't just throw their stuff out and make us do all the heavy lifting to refute them. Now, this is a very important point. We have the impulse that whatever they say, we're the ones who have got to resolve it. We have to defend it. We have to pull from our store of apologetics and show them where they're wrong, when in fact the first step is for them to defend their own view first. So before I'm going to answer the charge that everything is relative, I am first going to ask of him or her to give me reasons why I should take that statement seriously. And here this leads to our second Columbo question. The second use of Columbo is to reverse the burden of proof, and we do that by asking this question. Now, how did you come to that conclusion? Or why would you think that that's the case? Or do you have any reasons for that? Notice that what we're doing here is we are using questions to keep ourselves, for the moment, in a safe position. We are not making claims. We are not taking any burdens on ourselves. We are not putting ourselves in a position to come under fire. We are using a game plan that gives us a lot of protection. We have two questions in our back pocket that we can begin to use immediately in any conversation to make friendly contact with the other person and then begin to get the kind of information that we need that will help us to navigate effectively in a conversation. Then we can decide where we're going to go from there. Or if we want to go anywhere at all, we can decide that. But at least we have a way to start. The point here is, to use an American baseball metaphor, I'm not asking anybody to swing for the fences and hit a grand slam or a home run. I'm not even asking you to get on base. With the tactical approach, I just want you to get up to bat. And these two questions, what do you mean by that, and how did you come to that conclusion, will allow you to do that. And then you could let the Lord take it from there and see what happens. But you'll be amazed at what happens, what God will do just with those simple questions. You'll be amazed at your own confidence when you realize that you don't have to defend the whole world. You just have to get into play by opening up conversations and letting the other person talk, and you'll get a real education in the process. Just think, if you ever get in a tough spot, if you don't know what to do, if you don't remember anything else about this talk, just remember this. Take a tip from Lieutenant Colombo. Always ask questions. Thank you.